Father, tonight we declare you holy, God. Lord, we praise you. Sing in the name above all names.
You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God.
that you would just open our hearts, God. Lord, just take away the distraction in this place, God. Lord, we simply come here just to declare you holy, God. Lord, we thank you for your righteousness, God. One more time, let's just sing this out, and I surrender.
So as we come here and we talk about those things, I wonder what that would look like for us as a people, as a body, a people who are serious about our faith. What would that look like? I surrender all to you. So I don't know. That's kind of something to think about for yourself. That's not even what I'm talking about, but whatever. So there's that. Turn me way down here. I don't need that much. We're going to be in Isaiah 56 tonight. So if you have a Bible with you and everything, Isaiah 56. That's where we're going to be. So just to get started here, I've kind of learned something just recently about myself and just I think a lot about a lot of us in this room. It probably worked for most of us in this room. My entire life, I've been basically told what to do, told what is the good thing to do, told what the popular thing to do, the right thing to do might be. And I realized this when I went home to Oklahoma. I went home about 2 weeks ago to Oklahoma, saw my family and everything, and I'm just hanging out with them. Things are great, you know. I mean, their boy from Oklahoma's come home and surprised them, and so, you know, they're like, Matthew, what are you doing here? You know, my mom's like all crying and all that kind of stuff, and she's like, I just miss you. You know, and it's like her fall break, so she was just like, this is the best fall break ever, and all this stuff, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm a great son, you know. Like, it's like, man, this is awesome, you know. Get bonus points with mom. It's Christmas around the corner. This is going to be sweet. And so, you know, doing all those things, and I'm thinking it's going to be a great trip. And I get home, and I mean, Oklahoma, if you haven't heard it before, I'll say it, and it's true. It's gorgeous, okay? It's absolutely gorgeous. And so I go back there, and I look, and I'm just like, wow, this place is beautiful. I'm just amazed by it. I mean, I come home, it's 70 degrees, it's sunny, the birds are chirping, you know, there's like, it's just the perfect day, right? And I get there, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I got my sandals on, I'm good to go. I mean, I'm in Oklahoma, I'm with my family, this is a perfect trip. And so I come in on Thursday, and then Saturday comes around, and we're going to an OU football game, Oklahoma University. We're going to a football game. It starts that evening. And, you know, I mean, out here in California, we never ever watch the weather, right? Because, I mean, there's really no need to watch the weather. I mean, you pretty much kind of know what's coming. You know, okay, it's going to be kind of gloomy today, sort of looking. You can't see the mountain over there because there's so much dirt in the air or whatever. And it'll be kind of nice, sort of. So that's the weather, right? And then every now and then it'll get really, really windy, and, you know, you'll be blown away, but you'll be able to see the mountain. And you're like, yeah, well, you know, so you get one of the two, right? So, you know, that's the way it is here. But in Oklahoma, you know, I mean, they have to watch the weather. And so I wake up that morning, and, you know, I do my usual thing. When I'm in Oklahoma, I mean, my whole life I've always done this. I go outside, and I just run out there and just grab the paper real quick. And that's like my time to see what it's going to feel like that day, right? And so I grab it, and I mean, it feels good. I'm like, oh, Saturday is going to be a great day. I'm going to get to see all my friends, hang out with them, and then go to the OU football game. So I dress up, you know, get ready, do all my thing, you know, making sure I'm looking good or whatever. So, you You know, it takes me hours to get ready. And so I did that, got done. And then we go, we're driving, and it's about an hour drive. And my mom, right before we left, she looks at me, and she's like, "You're wearing that?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm wearing that. Are you kidding me?" You know, and I'm just going. I got, like, my short sleeve, you know, I just got my short sleeve shirt on. I got, like, a little jacket and, you know, my jeans and sandals. And she's like, "You're wearing that. You know you're going to a football game, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, you know, I'm just going to go looking cool. That's all, you know. I mean, no big deal, right?" And so we go there, and she's like, "Well, whatever. It's going to be really cold. It's going to be really cold." And so my mom, knowing how stubborn I was, had already stuck my jacket in the car. And she'd brought a pair of shoes, like these old school shoes I had, like in eighth grade, that were like these nasty Adidas that probably had weird mold on them or something. Anyways, so, you know, my mom, like, had secretly put these in the back. You know, I'm like, "Whatever, Mom, I'll be fine." So we start driving there, and we're driving from, you know, my hometown all the way to Norman. It's about 45 minutes. And on the drive there, we're about 15 minutes away from where we're arriving. And all of a sudden, you start looking around, and things, you know, the blue skies have kind of turned a little darker. You know, this perfect day kind of turned, and you look out there, and I mean, the wind's just, you know, like you just can hear it, and you're just looking around, and there's, you know, there's all kinds of things flying around now. You're just looking, you're like, "Okay, something has changed here." And I get outside, and as soon as we get to the restaurant, we're meeting all my friends. We get outside, and I mean, it's just like, boom, you know, in this cold, cold air, just all of a sudden just nails my face, and I'm like, you know, I'm just like running into the restaurant as quick as I can. I got my little, you know, coat here with me. I'm just, can't even have time to put it on. I'm just running as quick as I can. And I mean, it's just absolutely freezing cold. And my mom, she gets into the restaurant, and the first thing she says is this: "I told you so," you know, and I was like, "How did you know?" And she's like, "Well, I watched the weather," you know what I mean? And so I leave my home, it's 70 degrees. That night we go to a football game, and it was 34 degrees. 34 degrees! That's sick, you know, and so I'm freezing. I mean, absolutely freezing. And I don't know what I'd have done if my mom wouldn't have taken care of me. She had the coat, she had the gloves, she even, you know, she had my little hat thing for me and everything. I mean, I was set, and I'd have been completely ruined. But the fact of the matter is, my mom, even though I'm 23 years old, even though I was just coming home for a trip, she still was the person who was saying, "You need to do this. You need to make sure to bring more clothes. You should bring more clothes." In your whole life, you're told what you should do, what you shouldn't do. Some things are beneficial. Like my mom telling me, "I should bring a coat. I should bring gloves to that game." That was beneficial. But there's some things that you're just looking at your life and you're saying, "Why is somebody telling me this?" I mean, there's some things in life that I just don't get. Vegetables. I mean, I've never understood it. My whole life, my mom and dad, you know, my mom especially, she's just like, "You gotta eat vegetables. You gotta eat." I don't eat a single vegetable. And look, I look like a healthy person at least, right? I don't eat a single vegetable. I eat French fries, okay? I just continually eat French fries. And I say to myself, why is it that someone continues to tell me eat vegetables? I don't get the point. But then there's other things in the world, you know? I went through this phase, and I mean, some of you guys might, you know, I mean, we're going down memory lane here for a second, okay? Doc Martens. I don't know if you guys remember these things, but I just remember being told by all my friends, "You have to get Doc Martens in order to, I mean, be cool. You have to get Doc Martens." Now, here was the problem with that. I was the shortest kid in my class, all right? I mean, my entire grade, I was the shortest kid in seventh grade. But the big problem was this. I had size 11 feet, okay? So, like, I still have size 11 feet today. I mean, I have not grown at all shoe size-wise, right? And so I'm this kid. I'm like, okay, so I got to get Doc Martens. All right, Doc Martens, I'll go get them. So I go get them, and I'm just wearing them, and I'm looking at them with my I have my jeans on. I got these Doc Martens on. I'm like, man, my feet look kind of big, you know? And all my friends all day long would call me Skis McGee. Hey, Skis McGee, because, like, my feet were just so huge. With these things on, and they were horrible, but somebody told me, "You've got to get Doc Martens. You have to get Doc Martens in order to be cool." And so there was another reason. And then you go on and you go to all these different things and you think, surely sometime in life people will quit telling you what to do and let's just kind of figure it out, right? And you think of all the places it might be, church, where you can just go and you'll be able to figure things out. But no, that's not the way it works. They just tell you, you know, just, you know, you go to church and you hear somebody talk and they give you this good little invitation and they say, "Well, just come to, just walk down this aisle and give your life to Christ." And so you're like, you know, well, yeah, I mean, that's what I need to do. I know I need this. And so you go and you do that. And then as soon as you get there, well, here's what you need to do next. You need to make sure you get into this Bible study. You're in this Sunday school class. And next thing you know, you're like, okay, so I'm going to this Sunday school class. So you go to a Sunday school class and you're sitting there like, all right, so I'm doing what I need to do, right? So I'm good now, right? No. Now you got to come to Wednesday night. You have to come. You got to be here on Wednesday. I mean, if you really are serious about it, you got to come on Wednesday night. So, well, I want to be serious about it. I'm going to come on Wednesday night. So you go on Wednesday night. So now you've made this commitment. Now you've gone to Sunday school. Now you've gone to Wednesday night. You're thinking, all right, I'm good, right? Well, no, now you got to go on this mission trip. I mean, you have to go on this mission trip. In your whole life, you're told all these different things. And some of them are good. Some of them are bad. But bottom line, people just keep telling you what to do and what to do and what to do. And you come to college and you think, finally, I'm going to get to make my own decisions. And then you get told, well, no, here's what you got to do. I mean, you've got to go to this Bible study. It's called Relevant. You got to come to this thing, right? And so you come to Relevant and you're saying to yourself, all right, well, great, I'm at Relevant now. I'm doing my thing. And I mean, I'm here and it's really hot in here and I can hear the ice machine in the back, but I'm here and I'm at Relevant. So, I mean, what else do I need to do? And then you sit here and you hear me talk and you start hearing things about pursuing righteousness. You hear all these different ideas. You're told, this is what you're supposed to do. This is what it looks like to follow Christ. In your whole life, you're always told exactly what to do. And I don't know about you, but for me, you get to those points in your life where you say this, why? Why? Why do I have to do this? Why is it so important that I eat vegetables? Why is it that in order to be cool, I have to have Doc Martens? Why is that? Why is it that I have to go to Wednesday night Bible study called Relevant? Why is it that I have to pursue righteousness? I mean, what is it? What's so big about these things? Why? And you get to a point where you're just so frustrated and you're so tired of people just telling you what to do. You get tired of people just saying, here's what's next, here's what's next. Here's the next behavior you have to learn. Here's the next thing you have to learn how to say. Here's the next person you need to make sure you suck up to so that you look good. And we go through life and we're always told what to do next. And nobody really ever tells us why. Now guys, here's the thing. I am convinced, I am absolutely convinced of this, that we, as followers of Christ, we are called to pursue righteousness. We are called to it. We are called to pursue justice. We're called to these things. I absolutely believe that. It's changed my life. It's shaped my life. It's formed my life. It's driven my life. But for you, for me just to come here and just say, you know, this is what you need to do. You need to go and pursue righteousness. You need to go. You need to pursue justice. It's not enough. Because we come to a place in our life where we ask that question, why? Why is it so important, really? And so tonight, I'm convinced of this. Justice and righteousness are worthy things. But tonight, I want to tell you why they're so important for your life. Why they're so necessary for us as a body of people, for us as a campus that wants to be serious about following Christ and take his teaching seriously. Why it's so important, okay? So let's read Isaiah 56 here. This is what it says. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. So why is it so important that we pursue these things, pursue justice, pursue righteousness? Why are these things so essential to our lives? First is this, okay? I'm going to give you just two reasons tonight. First one is this, because salvation and deliverance have come. Salvation and deliverance, they've come, all right? I want us to understand this. Verse 1 again, keep justice and do righteousness. So there's the action, there's the behavior we're to do. Keep justice, do righteousness. That's what you're told to do. But here's why. For soon my salvation will come, and my deliverance will be revealed. Salvation has come in Jesus Christ. Deliverance, rescue has come to us, God's people. We have that. We have that. We have salvation. We have deliverance. And because of those things, because they've come, because they're here in our presence right now, what we're to do is this, to be just and to be righteous, because they're here right now. Now, here's the problem with that. So many of us have bought into this user-friendly Christianity, where in our heads we have this idea of what salvation is. Salvation is this. It's us making a decision. For me, I grew up in Oklahoma. I grew up in a church that was itty-itty-bitty. And what I was told was this. This is what salvation is. It's you making a decision to follow Christ. You walk down an aisle. You go. And somebody's like, all right, you know, they kind of pray with you, kind of talk to you while everybody else is singing and smiling. And then all of a sudden they're like, okay, we want you to go talk with this person for 2 minutes while you fill out a card. Then we're going to bring you back up here to the front. We're going to introduce you to everybody. Everybody's going to shake your hand. You're have tons of germs on this one hand, okay? That was the part that freaked me out, right? And so, you know, I mean, I have like 500 people shaking my hand. I'm just like, this thing is full of germs. This is sick, you know? And then after that, you know, then what do? You go and you get baptized, and that is salvation. Congratulations. You've been saved. You're in the books. You got a certificate. You know, you get a little diploma that says you've been baptized from your church, and that is salvation. That's what we're told. In America, that's what we believe. That's what we found to be salvation. And so you have all these kinds of people that are walking around this earth saying, yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I'm saved. You bet I'm saved. Because when I was 6 years old, of course, I went down an aisle. I did the thing. I filled out the card. I walked that aisle. I mean, come on. I did the baptism thing even. Of course I'm saved. But salvation in the biblical sense is so much more than that. Salvation is so much bigger than that. Salvation is not just one moment. Salvation is not just you going down an aisle. Salvation is not you just getting into the water, whether it be really warm because it's got the nice little thing in it to warm it, or whether it's freezing cold. It doesn't matter. It's bigger than that. Salvation is more than that. I want to read to you what Ezekiel says about salvation here, okay? Ezekiel, it's a cool thing. Ezekiel 36. You don't have to turn there. If you want to write it down. Ezekiel 36, starting in verse 25. It says this, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You see, in the biblical idea of what salvation is, it's so much more than just one event. Saying, yeah, I got saved right there and that's where it ended. That's where it is. No, salvation is so much bigger than that. You see, salvation changes who we are. It takes our heart of stone, our heart that hates God, our heart that's rebellious towards God, and it gives us a heart of flesh, a heart that's responsive, a heart that loves, a heart that fears, a heart that adores God. That's what salvation does. Salvation does this. It cleanses us of our sins. Did we get that? It cleanses you of your sin. Man, that's big time. But not only that, it puts God's Spirit within you. God's Spirit is in you. If you are a follower, God's Spirit is within you. But not only that, but it calls on you to follow the statutes of God. It calls on you to now, you're no longer following your own rules for life. You're no longer about your agenda. You're no longer about your goals. You're no longer about making much of yourself. But now you're about God's goals and God's agenda and what God's about. That's salvation. And that's why pursuing righteousness and pursuing justice, that's why they're so important. It's because salvation's come. Deliverance has come in Christ Jesus. And it changes everything about us. So tonight I wonder, what is our ambition? What do our lives reflect? I mean, seriously, think about your life. Think about where you're at. What do your lives reflect? What are the goals that are reflected in the way you live? What's the agenda that's reflected in the way you live your life? I mean, is it about you? Is it about making much of yourself? Is it about you making sure you look good, making sure that you're taken care of? Making sure that you have enough money, making sure you have enough clothes, making sure that you have everything that's trendy, making sure that you can make sure that according to your friends you're cool, making sure that everything about you looks good, looks right, making sure that you have everything taken care of for yourself. Is that the way your life's reflected? Or is it about what God's about, what he's about, and what he loves, what he's concerned about? Because what God's concerned about is this, justice and righteousness. Those are two big things in God's mind and his agenda on his goals, justice and righteousness. So that's why it's important for us, because God's brought deliverance. He's brought salvation. Salvation is more than just an event. It's a change of heart. It's a change of goals. It's a change of agendas for you. So tonight, what's your agenda? What's your goal? If you're really a follower of Christ, it's going to be different from the world and what the world says is important. Just like what Matt's talked about with sex. He says this is what the world finds to be so important about sex. But here in God's agenda, in God's goals, this is what's so important. This is what's so beautiful about sex. Because God's justice and God's reign and God's rule and his kingdom bring life and new goals and new things. That's salvation. That's justice. That's righteousness. But not only that, but why else is it so important? I want you guys to read verse 2 again here in Isaiah 56, okay? Read it with me here. Isaiah 56, verse 2 says this, blessed is the man who does this, keeps righteousness and justice, and the son of man who holds it fast. Holds what fast? Justice and righteousness. Who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. So what's so important about this? You know, justice and righteousness. It's really interesting. This verse right here, it compares it to something. Justice and righteousness, keeping these things, pursuing these things, is compared to something. It's compared to the Sabbath. It's compared to the Sabbath. Now we have this interesting idea of the Sabbath, right? You know, the Sabbath means you sit, you don't do anything, you know, that we rest. And we get this idea in our head of what the Sabbath is. You know, today is the Lord's day, and so here's the Sabbath, and here's what it's about. But genuinely, the Sabbath is not an end in and of itself. That's not the goal. It's not just for you to go and sit. It's not for you to go and just not work. It's not for you to go and to just kind of be lazy for that day. Just, you know, hey, you know what? It's the Sabbath, so I'm going to take a day off, and I'm just going to sit back, and I'm going to watch football. If you're a guy, you know, that's what you call the Sabbath. Today's the Sabbath. I'm watching a lot of football. Sorry about it. You know, sorry, world. Today's that day. You know, for girls, today's the Sabbath. You know, I don't know what you girls do. If you would, you know, no clue. I'm not a girl, so who knows? But what was I going to say there? We were good. But we have this idea here in America of what the Sabbath is. And really what we do is we make it an end in and of itself. We say, okay, check that off the list. I have done the Sabbath. I mean, I participate in it. And if we're really honest, a lot of us in this room, we don't even do that. We don't even acknowledge the Sabbath. We don't even acknowledge a day that's set aside for God and to focus on Him. I mean, if we're really honest with ourselves, we really don't do that. I mean, a lot of us in this room, we don't even acknowledge that kind of an idea because our schedules are so busy. We have so much to do that every single day, every single minute of every single day is taken up. Well, I got to go do a one-on-one here. I got to go do this here. I got to, you know, well, now I got to go, you know, and we have all these different things. Well, I got class in here somewhere. I got a wedge class in somewhere in the schedule, right? And so we have all these different things going on, and rarely, rarely do many of us in this room really take the time to embrace the Sabbath. But what's the whole point of the Sabbath? It was this. I want to make sure I get this right here. I wrote this down because I really believe this. It says this. I wrote this down. Okay. Sabbath was about God and His creation being in focus. The Sabbath is this. It's about God and His creation being our focus. We sit down and we focus on God. We focus on His creation. We focus on the things that He cares about. We don't just sit and say, okay, that's the end. I've done it. Check. But no, it's a means to focus. The Sabbath is us sitting down, focusing on God and what He's about and His agenda, and seeing God clearly, seeing what He cares about clearly, seeing His creation as it really is. The Sabbath is this. It's us looking at creation, remembering the completion of creation, and longing for the day when creation is brought back in fulfillment, when there's a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. That's what it's about. The Sabbath is about focus. It's about hope. It's about life. It's not about just sitting. Not about just taking time to sleep. No, it's more than that. It's about coming and seeing God as He is, seeing creation as it is, seeing things that are valuable as they really are. They're valuable. And so the writer here, he compares pursuing justice and righteousness to the Sabbath. They're right on par. They're equal in Isaiah 56, 2. And here's why. Because when we participate and when we're active in participating in justice and righteousness, what it does is this. It gives us a clear view of who God is. It puts God into focus. It puts His creation into our minds. We take it seriously. It becomes a priority. And the things that God cares about become important to us. Because here's the tendency of so many of us in this room, right? It's we get so busy, we get so wrapped up in our lives, we get so wrapped up in our agendas and our goals and our schedules that we completely miss out on what God's about. And you know, we might come here, we might sing the songs, we might come here, we might open our Bibles, but really, if we're really honest with ourselves, nowhere in our lives does anything reflect that we really care about what God cares about. Nowhere in our lives is it really seen that really we adore God, that we fear God, that we acknowledge God in all His bigness and all His beauty. Really, if we look at our lives, if we look at our schedules, if we look at our goals, it's not there. But when we pursue righteousness, when we pursue justice, they begin to come into focus. And the things that once were important, kind of, we say, you know what, they're not that important anymore. They're really not, because they're not pursuing anything that's righteous. They're not anything that's just. And so I'm going to nix them out of my life. I'm going to come a little bit closer. And then you go to the next area of your lives, and you say, well, you know what, really, this relationship, it doesn't pursue righteousness in any way. It's not just in any way, and therefore I don't need it. And so you continue on in your life till pretty soon the things that are valuable to God and the things that are of God and the things that God really cares about become our focus, become our passion. And the way we get there is by this: pursuing righteousness, pursuing justice, participating in the Sabbath, and focusing on God and what He cares about. So why should we do these things? Because salvation has come. Because it brings us completion, it brings us life, it brings us focus. And guys, that's what's important. And tonight, you know, I was sitting there just wondering what it would be like if people got serious about this. Serious about justice. Serious about righteousness. I mean, think about it. What would your hall look like if you guys were serious about these things? Justice, righteousness. How would you relate to your roommate differently if you took it seriously? Justice, righteousness. I mean, would it affect anything? Would it change anything about the way you interact with the people in your world? How would you go to class? How would you interact and participate in your classes if justice and righteousness, if these things were things that you valued and cared about and focused on? How would it change? How would it change the way that you live your life? How would it change the way that you perceive the world? Guys, we have so many opportunities to participate in this. And one of the things that just I don't get, one of the things that I just cannot get over is this. We have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. We have things like, I just think about it, and Rob Rice is right back here, and we have this thing, and it's basically this idea where people are going to come here. There's firemen that are going to be coming on our campus, and they're going to be coming here, and what they're going to be doing is this. They're going to be teaching you how, if we get in a serious situation here, okay, if something really horrific happens right here in Riverside, you would be able, you would be qualified, you would be equipped to be able to help other people through a serious, traumatic tragedy. You'd be able, if there's a fire in this area, and you say, well, that's never going to happen. Well, you never know. You never know what's going to happen here. You never know where you're going to wind up being. You never know if you're really ever going to need to help somebody. And you're going to have an opportunity to go and to be a help, to be hope. And so, guys, here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to step up. I'm asking you to really not just talk about your faith, not just sit around, go to number two donuts, go and sit in your dorm rooms and talk about faith and what faith looks like and what faith's going to look like in your life. I'm asking you to do this. I'm asking you to take justice and righteousness serious right now. I'm asking you to be bold in your life. I'm challenging you to take your life seriously, to take your relationship seriously, to take the things that you invest yourself in seriously. What are you doing this weekend that's of value? What are you doing this weekend? Because there's going to be that opportunity tomorrow night, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to be with Rob. And you never know when you're going to be able to bring justice and righteousness to people that'll be longing for justice and righteousness. But you know what? There's too many of us in this room that we sit around and all we do is we dream about it, we talk about it, but we never do anything about it. And I'm asking you, what would the world look like? What would your world look like if you took justice and righteousness seriously? I think it'd be different. I think CBU would be different. I don't think we'd have, Rob, what was it? We had, what, 13 girls and one guy signed up for that? Is that what it was? 13 girls, one guy on our campus signed up for that. Guys, that's pretty pathetic. It is. It's just pathetic. So step up. Go talk to Rob. Go talk to him about getting involved and bringing justice and righteousness to people who need justice and righteousness. You know, we're patting ourselves on the back because we have what? Megan, we have almost 200 people. 199. See, literally, almost 200 people. 199 people signed up for ISP to go on trips. Guys, we have a campus of what? You know, 1,600 people that live on the campus. You know, 3,000. We're patting ourselves about 200. There's some of you in this room that you're scared and you sing about it, but your lives don't reflect it. And if you really were all about justice and righteousness, then you might go on an ISP trip. You know, we have all these opportunities in our lives, and they're here right now. And guys, what I'm asking you to do is this. Think about your life this week. this week, I want you to, I'm challenging you on this. I'm not asking you to do anything big. I'm just asking you to do this. Look at your life this week. And I want you to say this. God, what does it look like if I'm serious about justice and righteousness? What changes if I'm serious about justice and righteousness? What am I going to be involved in? What am I going to nix? What am I going to begin to pour myself into? And what things am I going to pull myself away from? What things am I going to give my money towards? What little money I have, I'm going to give it to those things. And what things am I going to quit spending my money on? What things am I going to watch on television? What things am I going to read? If justice and righteousness are really so important to me. Guys, if you're a follower, you got to take it seriously. Justice, righteousness. Because salvation's come. And not only that, but it brings focus to our lives. It brings hope, it brings peace, it brings joy, it brings God's kingdom. Okay? So I'm going to pray for you, and I know tonight wasn't fun. I know tonight's not like, you know, you leave walking away warm and fuzzy, but I it's not like one of those like major pick-me-ups where I expect people, man, Matt, that was, I feel better about myself, you know? I don't expect that, okay? But I do expect you guys to be mature and to really think about these things, okay, in your life and where you're at. God's truth is challenging. God's truth is offensive at times. And I ask you just to seriously think about these things and how they affect your life and how do they reflect in your life, okay? So, yeah, let's pray, and then I'm going to say a few announcements for you guys, okay? So let's pray. God, I come to you, and God, first, I just want to come and give you thanks. God, you are so high, and you are so holy, and you are other. God, you're not like us. And so many times we relate to you just like you're just another person. God, we value you just like we might value some other friendship that comes and goes. When it's convenient, we take advantage of it. When it's not, no big deal. And God, I pray that in this room, we take the risk to think seriously about our lives, think seriously about where we're at. And God, are we really reflecting justice and righteousness in the way that we live? God, I pray that we're really serious about that. And it challenges me, and I know it challenges us as a people. But God, I pray we take it seriously this week. Lord, if some of us in this room need to go and get involved in ISP, then tonight I pray that we would do it. We take that risk right now. We wouldn't think another minute about it. We've had enough time to think, but we act. God, if some of us need to think about justice and righteousness and maybe one of these days being able to help people in Riverside, California, that God, we would go and talk to Rob right after this and hear more about it. And some of us in this room, we have no clue what in the world Matt's been talking about. And God, I pray that they would go and just take the risk to figure out more, find out more about it. God, I pray in our lives that we take it seriously, justice and righteousness. Show us what it would look like for us to take those things seriously. So Lord, we just ask these things in your name for from you and through you and to you, God, are all things. And God, you really do deserve glory and you deserve honor and praise for who you are. We thank you, God. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Guys, we'll be not in here next week, okay? We're having to do this, like, switch flipper thingamajigger, and I'm so, so sorry because I would much rather us all be in one place all the time. It just doesn't work that way, I guess. Oh, well. So next week, we will be back in the Staples room, okay? So I'm really sorry. I'll send another email and all that. I'll probably bug you guys. If I see you, I'll be like, hey, we're going to be meeting in the Staples room. Just be like, okay, Matt, that's great. You know, blow me off if you need to, do whatever, but get the word out. So we'll be meeting in Staples next week, okay? So that's going to be happening. Also, if you have any ISP applications, you will be passing those to Megan in the back. Megan has two fingers up. What's, huh? Oh, okay, wow. Hey, there you go. So if you have your ISP application, or if you forgot it, you can run back to your place and get it and bring it back up here by 11 o'clock to Megan in the campus ministry's office right across the hall there. You be the 200th person. You might get like a free soda or something if you're the 200th. I don't know. I don't know what comes with that one. But anyways, and then Rob is right there in the back. If you want to talk to him more about how you can get involved in this Rob, what exactly, could you give like a quick 1 minute deal for it? You guys listen up. This is Rob. I don't know if you guys know him. He's one of the coolest guys, seriously, on our campus. I'm not kidding. I say that a lot, but I mean this one. So go, Rob, please.
Riverside?
Like that? All right, thank you. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So if you guys want to know more about that, Rob, he's in the USC sweatshirt thing there, so you guys do that. Do we have anything else? I don't think so. All right, next week, where are we going to be meeting? Anybody know? Staples, yes, that's right. Okay, 9:30 next week. See you guys there. Thanks for being here tonight.